Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around. Welcome back to Hacks and Hobbies. Today I'm joined with Rory Paquette, professional podcaster and podcast coach known as the Robin Hood of podcasting. He believes in robbing from the rich, keeping costs down, using minimalist equipment and editing, and giving back by empowering small and niche podcasters to succeed. In part one, we'll explore Rory's journey, why he's so passionate about leveling the playing field in podcasting, and how his philosophy can help you not just in your podcast, but in your life. Rory, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here, man.
Thanks for having me. I can't wait.
I'm super excited for our conversation. I know we recently met. Like, I was a guest on your show about a month and a half ago, and I just had so much fun. And I'm like, hey, we need to do an episode together again. And it's funny, like, this is basically the first year that we've met, and I just already love all the things that you're doing and all the topics you're talking about.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Yeah, I had a great time. You and I just sort of clicked, like, right from the get-go.
Yeah.
And it just made it a really easy, smooth conversation. And it was a great interview over on my show. So I'm looking forward to this one. I mean, you're really high-tech. Yeah. You're up there. You know, so.
I appreciate it, Rory. I appreciate it. You know, you've been called the Robin Hood of podcasting, which I love. Where did that nickname come from, and what's the story behind your passion for helping small and niche podcasters? Because there's so many, and they're always wondering, how do I get started? So talk to me.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. It was funny because it was given to me by someone I was interviewing. And, you know, after the show was over, we were having a conversation about it. And we were talking about all the costs involved and everything else. Yeah. And somewhere in there, I made some comment about how, you know, honestly, when you're starting off, you kind of have to have the mentality of robbing from the rich and giving to the poor, because you can get into podcasting, you know, for tons of money for no reason. And she just really locked onto that and said, oh my goodness, that's so perfect. You're the Robin Hood of podcasting. And then she made some posts about it on social media, which was really funny. And here we are. So, you know, it's, it's kind of how it took off.
Absolutely love that. That's really cool. And you're not technically robbing from the rich, right?
Right.
But tell us a little deeper, you like, into it. Like, how does that even help indie podcasters getting started?
Sure. Technically, we're not robbing from them. I just really believe that there are a lot of folks within the industry that are there to help podcasters and make money, you know, and, you know, you and I both do that, you know, we're both helping podcasters, but we're both running businesses and making money. Yeah. And it's appropriate the way it works. There are some folks that are just almost predatory, you know, walking around. When I first got into podcasting, somebody offered me a $20,000 coaching program, you know, and I have a friend who spent $9,000 on a coaching program to learn how to, you know, get Zoom set up. You know, it was, there's a lot of large companies there, you know, everybody's offering a new thing. Everybody's offering a new service. And there's so much of the business around us that really looks at us as podcasters as, well, we're the cash cows, and they just want to make sure that they get us for every dollar they can on the way.
Oh my God.
And my thing is, look, when you are ready to level up, okay, when you know you love podcasting, when you've proven to yourself you can do it, it's not about downloads or anything like that, but when you really are in it and you know you want to keep going, then spend that money, you know?
Exactly.
Then go ahead and get the nice office, you know, get the setup, get the, you know, level up your game, look more professional, do it. But when you're starting off, oh my gosh, you know, use your phone if you need to, man.
Yes.
That's kind of the thing.
Yeah, yeah, I absolutely love that, because that's something that I preach as well. Start with what you have, build your muscle for doing the thing, right? Because when you do build a muscle and you do the thing, then you're able to place the value and find it valuable to say, okay, now I know that I need to invest more time and energy and effort into creating something that's going to, you know, bring back value to the audience. So it kind of clicks. Like, you have to have that experience first before you spend a ton of money.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. You know, I mean, folks come in, and then if you spend $5,000 or $6,000 just to get rolling, and then 10 episodes in, you're like, yeah, it's really not my thing, mm-hmm. you know, or your heart's not in. I mean, what have you done to yourself? Now you've handicapped yourself for what might be your real calling in life.
Exactly.
And I don't think podcasting needs to be that way.
No, not at all. Now, talk to me, Drew. Talk to me, Rory. What drew you into podcasting in the first place?
Yeah, I was actually in public speaking for a very long time, pre, you know, COVID, which changed everything for everybody. And obviously, you couldn't do that anymore. I took some time off of all of that to drive a truck and, you know, bring bread to supermarkets and stuff, just to make sure I was part of the supply chain.
Yeah.
And that way my job was secure when lots of my friends were losing theirs. Allowed me to kind of take care of my family. But, you know, then you kind of start to come out of that and you go, all right, the crisis is past. Let's figure out what's next. And so I started thinking, how do I get back on stages? Well, as you know, that they really didn't open up anytime soon. But I really had some messages I wanted to get out. I had been through some tough times, and I wanted to tell a story. Yeah. And I wanted to help men like me who felt like they were very alone and let them know that they weren't. You know, COVID made everybody feel alone.
Yes.
And so I wanted to make sure that, you know, husbands and fathers especially, out there, the ones who have so much responsibility heaped on them, you know, in almost thankless roles. I wanted to make sure that they had somebody else out there telling a story, saying, look, what you're going through is not unique, and the way you feel about it is not a bad thing, and you've got brothers out there that are with you. And how could I get that message out? And there were no platforms, you know, writing a book was a little slow. And so I said, you know, this podcasting thing seems pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And I heard a podcast that I was listening to where the guy was talking about building your own movement. And I went, wait a minute, this guy doesn't have the voice I have. He doesn't have the message I've got.
Yeah.
And he's got 200 episodes. What am I doing? Mm-hmm. You know, so I said, all right, it's time. And I just kind of got that calling. Look, go do this. And so there we are. I got started.
That's absolutely beautiful, Rory, because when you go and listen to that calling, actually create the thing and create the community for the people to tell them, hey, you're not alone. You're not the only one feeling this. I think it brings the people together, and you essentially then started that movement because you heard somebody else do it. So, like, it's not that hard to create a community. It's not hard to get that message out. So I'm glad that you did. Because more of us need to be speaking online, or need to be speaking in any way, you know, fashion at all. Because after all, human beings, we are a community. We are a social animal, and we like to connect, you know, with people in so many different ways. There was a video I was watching where I think it was Trevor Noah, and he's like, you know, we all grew up in village environments where, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. And what this new society does is, like, it individualized everybody. And now you're paying for the community. You're paying for people to hang out with people. You're paying to people to come and help you. Whereas when you lived in a village, everybody worked together and helped each other, which were not, like, had gone away. So it's really interesting to see that something that we've done during the pandemic is do more reflection and find more communities that we belong to. Now, was there a moment when you realized that you wanted to flip the script on how podcasting is usually taught? Going back?
Yeah, there was. When I was thinking about, I got into coaching, and I still do leadership coaching with men. I work with some veterans and that type of thing also. So I was doing that type of coaching. But as I was spending more time in the groups you know, like on Facebook and things like that, and seeing these folks, you know, looking for help and podcasting. I was following up and you know, I'd offer some help when I could, and I'd see what other people were offering. And there were folks in there that were just, you know, offering almost ridiculous things. I'm a capitalist, so I don't ever want to say, hey, don't charge this. Or, I mean, hey, if somebody's willing to pay you $20,000 for your stuff, great, go for it, you know. But it just, it wasn't necessary for someone who's getting started. And so I found myself in some of these forums saying, hey, listen, you know, that's great if that's where you want to go, but make sure you want to do this first.
Yeah.
Before you do that. I think it was the dad in me that kind of just took over. I have three kids. They're all grown. I've been a coach my whole life, you know, so I've always kind of looked out for people, you know, and tried to guide them and coach them. And I would see these people who were just brand new and going, oh, okay, so I need to spend $1,000 here and $500 there and all this. And I'm like, no, no, do an episode first, you know. And I remember that. I won't name any names, but I remember that conversation in a group one time. And the guy who was offering, you know, the really high ticket coaching got mad at me. And he was like, hey, man, you know, I'm trying to do some business here. You know, mind your own business. And I'm like, hey, brother, you know, what can we do? You know what I'm saying? So it just, that was kind of the moment that happened. Yeah.
You know, that's so funny because information is available everywhere, right? People like that gentleman who was charging $20K to start a podcast. I think that would be a great product for a company maybe, but not for indie podcasters because indie podcasters don't have that kind of money around. They're just trying to start a new hobby with podcasting. So I'm glad that you were there teaching them and guiding them. Like, hey, at least try it out before you spend the $2,000 or $4,000. Like even for me, when I started my cycling, I've been cycling since I was, you know, a young buck, teenager, whatnot. And then when my sister told me, hey, there's a five boroughs, 40-mile bike ride in New York. I didn't go and buy a bike. Actually, I did. Bought a cheap bike for $900, which was designed for a totally different purpose. And I couldn't even get to ride the damn thing because it was a TT bike and, you know, time trial bike and not really designed. So I went to this thing, event thing, and I rented a bike. And this guy was like, hey, this bike has never been ridden. I'm giving it to you because you're the same size as me. Here you go, try it out. So I rode this bike and it felt really good and really comfortable. I was able to ride the 40 miles, but also had a ton of pain in my knees because it was raining, it was cold. Long story short, I finally knew that I really wanted to do this. So when I was able to go and spend the $2,000 on the bike that I would, you know, then ride for hundreds and hundreds and even thousands of miles over the years. But you're right, you know, we have to first try out, hey, am I even going to go deeper into this thing or not?
Yeah. Yeah. And that really was what it was for me, was that time in that group, that was the moment, so to speak.
I love it. Now you talk about keeping things simple, minimal gear, minimal editing, less cost and more life. Why is this philosophy so important to you? And I know it's a dumb question. Thank you, ChatGPT. But why is that so important? I mean, yes, I understand why it's important, but yes, please answer.
I got
Tell
you.
Me what
hey,
you do.
Don't worry. There's no dumb questions. No, everything's great. It's important to me, especially right now, because by doing it that way and by being very minimalist in what I do, I've been able to grow to places where I didn't have any idea I'd be able to grow. You know, I do everything myself. I'm just one of those guys. And I'm not advocating that. I mean, everybody reaches a point where it's smart to implement a system to, you know, take on, you know, let chat, you know, help you out, those things, hire a VA, all that kind of stuff. But I like to do it myself. And, you know, when you're doing it full time, you have the time to do that. Yeah. So I'm very blessed and fortunate in that way. But I would never have been able to have four podcasts that I do, where I put out so much information, where I do so many episodes, if I was, you know, spending hours and hours and hours editing and doing all sorts of other, you know, things that I don't need to do. So, So I am very minimalist in the approach. I really believe in no editing, to be honest with you. I know people like to insert, you know, the music and the things like that. And if that's something you want to do, that's great. Mm. But you can, once you get that set up, that takes maybe 5 minutes, you know, to add your intro, your outro, and throw the episode in the middle. Mm-hmm. But to sit there and try and get every and, you know, and sniffle out, you know, and, you know, why? You're not on a $1 million contract. You're not Joe Rogan, right? None of us are. No one's going to listen to your podcast and hear you go, yeah, so, you know, and stop listening to you. You just said one time. But people really get caught up in that. And that's try to remind folks that when you're doing a podcast, it should be about your listener. It should be about your story. It should be about, you know, coming from your heart. And it should just come naturally and be fun and be emotional, you know, and everything else. That's what I advocate for.
I love that because I'm one of those guys that's always counting the ums and ahs like people are saying. And it's just
a
habit.
I don't want to offend you.
No, you didn't offend me because I'm sure you also went to Toastmasters because you're a speaker, right? So I don't know if you did or not. But
I did.
I did, right? So you did. So it's a built-in habit. You're not going to point it out to somebody. But I was listening to in the podcast episode and the host was like so pristine. Oh my God. She had no ums or ahs. She just, I heard maybe one from her. But the guest who's never been on a podcast before, maybe he has, and this is somebody who high up in the government, and there's ums and ahs like all throughout the conversation. I'm like, well, it's not something everybody focuses on. Because they're just kind of trying to get the message out, which is totally fine. And this thing is something that we work on over time. And it's just something that, you know, you kind of work on it as you go along. You're not going to get good in the beginning, but it just takes time and effort.
Yeah.
Now, as you've been working, Rory, with other podcasters or starting podcasters, what mistakes do you see them make? By overcomplicating things.
I think we've probably seen all of the mistakes in the world on overcomplicating because it's a natural thing for us, I think, just as human beings. We want to be perfect. We don't want anyone to ever make fun of us or anyone to tell us anything's wrong. And so it's very, very difficult. You know, you and I both follow a lot of, you know, real popular influencers and stuff. But, you know, Gary Vee, for instance, is somebody that I follow a lot. Pat Flynn, like you and I have talked about. But, you know, Gary Vee is like, just start. Messy start. Just start. Don't worry about how ugly it is, right? Start ugly. Start messy. People don't want to do that. And that's why he's who he is out there saying those words, because people do not want to start messy.
Yeah,
and I'm real big on, look, if it's your first episode, grab your phone and just do the episode and hit publish and then sit down, listen to it and see where you are. You know what? Who cares? who cares? You know,
nobody cares.
You're not getting graded. Nobody's paying you. You're not going to lose your job.
Yes.
Your wife's not going to leave you because your podcast was rough. Just do it and then go, oh, all right, now maybe I'd like to fix some things.
Yeah,
but people get so wrapped up in all of the little things. You know, I worked with someone who wanted to make sure that they had purchased every little thing they had to have before they would even talk into the mic.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you haven't even heard your own voice on recording yet. So let's slow down, you know? So I think that is the biggest thing that happens with brand new podcasters, especially the ones I've worked with. They just want to overcomplicate everything. And I'm there for you. I mean, hey, you get to 10, 20 episodes and you want to start complicating things, you go right ahead. You're in podcasting. You know you love it. Go for it. Okay? But my goodness, before episode one, give yourself some grace.
Absolutely. And like you said, Rory, right, you know, just start recording wherever you are. If the thought occurs to you, just grab your phone, start recording. And I've done, like, in fact, my first episode was recorded in a car on my phone.
Nice.
And then I published right after I was done recording it. I didn't market it. I didn't do none of that. I just, like, you know, just put it out. And what's funny is that even later on, I was like, let me redo the first episode. I was like, you know what? Nah, just leave it out of this, because I can send people back, look, this is where I started. And I just wanted to get that motion happening, because once the wheel's in motion, it's really easy to redirect it. But if it's sitting in one place, it's going to be hard to turn and all that good stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, my episode one was a complete train wreck. I didn't have any of the settings right, and my episode one sounded like, okay, so this is, and I was like, wow, okay, I did something wrong. So I fixed a couple settings, and then I realized, hey, don't do, 30 minutes of your first episode. Maybe record 15 seconds and check
15 seconds, check it, what it is.
So 15 seconds, checked it, we fixed it, and I went, oh, now it sounds good. And then I did it again.
Yeah.
It still was terrible, but it's my episode one. Everybody has an episode one.
Everybody Janae, right? Does.
You and I do. I mean, that's how it goes. Joe Rogan has an episode one.
Yes, he does.
And it was not great.
Exactly. So, yeah. And those are the things that you can always send people back to and tell them, hey, look, this is where I started. You don't need all the stuff. Just get started, right? When you play basketball, you're like, I want to learn all the different moves before you play basketball. No, you don't learn all the moves. Like, just learn to bounce the ball. Then you do learn to do a layup, and then learn to do some jumps. All these things. I've seen coaches do that, right? Like when my son was learning basketball, and you've probably done that too. You said you coached your children. Like,
oh, yeah.
You start with the simplest thing ever. Like, okay, is it working? Yes. Okay, can you make it better? Yes. Okay, let's do it, make it better. And there we go.
I love that you brought that up and equated it that way. When I started coaching in T-ball, and that was my first ever actual coaching thing with my older son. The reason I got into coaching and got off the sideline from watching practice and said, guys, I'm going to help out here, is because all the kids kept getting hit in the face with the ball. And I said, you guys got to teach them at least one thing. If you
Wasn't
hold your
that the idea to hit the people on the ball?
I know. If you hold your mitt upside down, the ball goes in, comes out, hits them in the face. If all you do is teach them to turn the mitt this way, then it either goes in the mitt or it hits the ground. It doesn't hit their face. And I'm like, that's all you got to do, right? Let's start with that. And when they could all protect their face, we worried about everything else that had to do with baseball. So podcasting's the same way. Protect your face and then worry about, running the bases and hitting a home
run. That's amazing. I love it. I love it, Rory. Now, what's cool is you also say that this philosophy isn't just about podcasting, like we talked about football and soccer. We talked about basketball and baseball.
Right.
This philosophy applies to life. It applies to everything that we do. Can you share a personal story where this mindset helped you outside of podcasting? Scratch that. We just talked about it. I probably should have read these questions before. All right, this is a good one.
Chad is not your friend today, brother.
No, not really.
You can edit that part out if you want to.
Yeah. Now, we're going to keep all of this in, because this is the power of podcasting, right? We're having a real conversation, and that's what we want to inspire others to do, right? I'm talking to people at the mosque. I'm talking to people that are business owners. I'm like, hey, you need to podcast, because if anything, you're going to learn how you talk or answer questions. And guess what? You have now the opportunity to get better the next time around, right? That's the entire idea. It's a personal development. And I look at it from that perspective as a personal development piece more than anything else. So last question, how do you coach podcasters to apply these lessons beyond the mic?
Beyond the mic. I mean, goodness, like you said, it's everything in your life. The first lesson is start messy. Stop suffering from paralysis by analysis with everything that you want to do. I've coached a lot of folks on starting their own businesses, starting their own side hustles, things like that. And I coach a lot of men in leadership on, that same type of thing. And everybody always wants to get everything 100% right before they take the first step. So, that applies there, of course. But even if it's just in your family, hey, this isn't working in my family. My kids aren't happy, or my wife's not happy, or my relationship isn't as good as it could be. Don't sit there and worry about it for 2 years. Don't sit there and think about it and buy 15 books and try and do it perfect. Okay, take step one. Hey, what can we do better? Hey, how can we make this work? You know, little things, but put something in practice. Yeah. Start now. You know, that's an incredibly important in your life. Start now. Put it in practice. Yeah. And so I coach podcasters that way in their lives and in their podcasting so that, you know, when they get the podcast up and running and they go, now what do? You know, I want to market something, or I want to, you know, get into affiliate marketing or sponsorships or anything else. Hey, don't wait. Don't think about that. If you think someone would be a great sponsor and you have 5 episodes and 6 downloads, call them. Mm-hmm. Why not? Let them tell you, hey, when you hit this point, call me back.
Yeah.
Don't do that for them.
Exactly. You know,
just go for it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I love that. Now, I like how you reframe this podcasting as simple, as something simple and freeing and not overwhelming. And same with life, right? My son, he's 15 years old, you know, he just got his learner's permit. And maybe that's what people are looking for. Maybe they're looking for a test to take if I could be a podcaster. Well, if you want to be a podcaster, here's a test. If you pass it, then we'll give you a learner's permit where you can then record a podcast.
Yeah.
And once you've done 10 podcasts, then we'll say, okay, now you're a good podcaster. Now you have the license to podcast. I don't know. It could be something fun like that.
That's actually a really, really good point, though, that you bring up. Mm-hmm. There's almost too much freedom in podcasting for people. They're so used to having so many rules. Mm. And let's be honest, in podcasting, it's the wild, wild west. We're making up all our own rules. Yes. Nobody can tell you this is how you must be or you must act. Mm-hmm. It's your podcast. Do what you want.
And I think the reason people think that they have to have it a certain way versus another is because of the folks that are selling the $20,000 programs. It's their thing. I'm like, oh, my God, I got to do all of this stuff. Whew. Okay.
Probably, maybe
I got to wait. So maybe we need to put out more information and more education. And I love Pat was just telling me that how his video about how to start a podcast with the diagrams and everything is the most watched video because it's so simple. And he just tells people, hey, here's how you get started. So I absolutely love that.
Yeah. So I will be honest. When I got started, right before I got started, I did buy a course. And it was very reasonably priced.
Yeah.
And it was Pat's course.
Yes.
It was his first, like, you know, how to start a podcast course. Had the videos and the whole bit. He had just released, I think, his second big book or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I did get his course. And again, it was very reasonably priced. And I followed every step. So I knew what I was doing. But even then, at the end of it, it was like, well, get started.
Get started.
Now you got to go do it.
Just go do it.
Go do it now. So, yeah. I mean, I definitely recommend if you don't know what to do, there are courses out there that are very reasonably priced. There's coaches like me, very reasonably priced. You don't have to worry about being alone. Mm-hmm. But you also don't have to spend, you know, $20,000 to $50,000 to get started.
Exactly.
It's not a Subway franchise.
Don't do that.
Right.
Well, Rory, thank you so much. We're going to come back in part 2 where we're going to go tactical. We're going to walk you through your exact strategies for helping small and niche podcasters succeed. Everything from gear to editing, growing without breaking the bank. Thanks so much again, man.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Guys, in part 2, we'll go tactical. Rory's going to walk us through his exact strategies for helping small and niche podcasters succeed. Everything from gear to editing and growing without breaking the bank. Stick around. Part 2 is where we roll up our sleeves and put this into practice. Let's go.
Thank you for listening to this Hacks and Hobbies episode. Junaid would love to hear from you, so please leave a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts. Visit hacksandhobbies.com to find additional information on the guest today, as well as the show notes.